heard a song before. Would you sing along with us? If tomorrow all the things are gone, I work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Love that song.
B minor. No, B minor. I was gonna say, I was like, something sounded scary.
Anybody got a train whistle? I need that. Woo!
There's a long black train coming down the line, beating off souls that are lost and cry. Rails of sin, only evil things. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. You can look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there's peace the same. Burn in your ticket for that long black train. 'Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. And don't go riding on that long black train. Making you wonder if your ride is worth the pain. Please, they lie. times there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. Sounds so good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stand. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. Cause there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory in the Lord. Cling to the Father and His holy. Don't go riding on that long black train. I say, cling to the Father and His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. The devil's driving that long black train. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender, Savior, make me holy. Let me feel Your Holy Spirit. Truly know that You are mine.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence I will. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Your love and power. Let Your blessings fall on me. Jesus, I surrender. Now I feel the sacred thing. Oh, the joy of Your salvation. Glory, glory to His name. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will live. I surrender all. At Your feet I lay me down, all my scars and all my crowns. Jesus, I surrender. In His presence I will live. I surrender all. chase me yesterday. Jesus, I surrender.
So welcome to Thursday night. Very casual, very informal, and I purposely never have anything planned because I want to let God tell me what to do. So we're going to grab a ball and see what happens. She's out of here. Oh yeah, we should leave that up there. From rebellion to submission. All right, let's see if God will give me a rebellion scripture. Let's find out here. I'll purposely go to this end of it right here. Crucifixion, death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection. Of course, all of it. Of course, the resurrection in and of itself is a rebellion against death. We could go with that. We could go with that. Actually, that's okay. Let's do this. Good. Okay, so check this out. This works even better. All right. And the pastor on Sunday is going to talk about going from rebellion to submission. All right. And what that message is effectively going from is, and especially a lot of us remember when we were teenagers, getting out of high school and that, or even during high school, you know, we went on independence, right? Right? Rebellion, independence. Yeah. Okay. All right. You know, so we're wanting to do all this. So, I mean, it's in our nature. It's the way God wired us. You know, he wired us for freedom. And so let's go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to the very beginning with this and watch how this watch this through. All right, so in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, since there was nothing, except there was God. All right? So God said, let the earth be, let the water be, let the light be. It just goes through the whole list, all right? So God makes everything. All right? Now, to quantify it all, of course, God, as we know, is our supreme being, without beginning, without end. God can do anything, you know. And in our world, it's like, really, anything? Yeah. I mean, he created all this stuff. But the cool thing is he gave us all our unique personalities, but the Bible says that we are made in the image of God, all right? Now, it says, and remember, specifically in that verse, he says, let us make them in our image. Now, how cool is this? He says in our image, not my image, in our image. Okay? So now, many of us who've been through the church, have been raised up in a church, know we've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right? A lot of times it's called the three in one or the Trinity. But to that point, though, when God said, let us make them in our image, so in the beginning there was God, there was Jesus, and there was the Holy Spirit, right? What else would explain the our image part of it? Okay? So let's make them in our image. Cool. So he creates, they create. Excellent point. On the sixth day, that's right, God created it. Very good. So then God, good. All right. So God makes this guy called Adam. You've heard this one, I know. Right. He makes this guy called Adam. All right. So Adam is made, you know, he's made in the image of God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's made in their image. Like, great. You know, but God kind of figures out Adam needs somebody to hang out with. So when Adam is sleeping, God goes and takes a rib. Imagine that. Kind of weird thinking, isn't it? He takes a piece of Adam, and from that makes Eve. All right, so essentially he makes a wife for him, makes a partner for him. So remember, he's got them in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, there's this one tree that God says, I've got one rule for you. Don't be eating the fruit off that one tree. All right? Which we also know is the tree of knowledge, okay? So keep in mind, they're all running around. So now they're running around the Garden of Eden. Everything's great. Everything's good. And then the serpent, who we now call the devil, and you can kind of describe it as a snake, and that's actually, I'm not going to get into all those fun details on the whys and the wherefores, but long and short, Eve ends up being tricked by someone who doesn't like God, okay? We also know him as the devil. Lucifer, go through all the names. So tricks Eve into eating this fruit. He said, look at that fruit. Looks pretty good, doesn't it? And Eve's like, yeah, it looks pretty good. He said, but God said I can't touch that. So God doesn't want you to have that because he knows as soon as you eat that, you're going to be like God. Like, wow, you're going to be immortal. You're going to do all that stuff. So he tricks Eve. So Eve takes a bite. Now, keeping in mind that the way the scripture reads, Adam was actually standing there at the time. It's not like Adam was way off in the garden somewhere else. Adam's standing right there the whole time, all right? And he's watching this. So she takes a bite and says, hey, it's pretty good. Here, Adam, you want one? And he's like, now he had a decision to make at that point. But I doubt he hesitated. He said, yeah, well, she didn't die. You really looked at her. God said, hey, that'll kill you. Hey, she's still living. Yeah, I'll take a bite. So at that point, the word says what? Their eyes were open, right? So their eyes are open. And suddenly they see that they are naked. Okay? Because to this point, it didn't matter. But now all of a sudden, now they have pride, right? They've eaten of the fruit of knowledge. And now all of a sudden, their eyes are open to these things. So now that they're aware of these things, ha! So they make the fig leaves and that. And now God, it said God would walk through the garden and spend time with them. Like, can you imagine that? How awesome would that be, right? And it will be when we finally move into eternity. We'll get to spend that. But so God's walking through the garden after all this, and he's not finding Adam and Eve. He says, where are they? You know, and they say, where are you? And then they come out and they say, well, where were you? So we were hiding. Well, why were you hiding? He said, we were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Well, we ate that tree. We ate from that tree. All right. So now all of a sudden, now God's got this deal. He said, oh, great. He said, great. Now what am I going to do, right? I made a rule. You broke the rule. What's the consequence going to be? So out of the Garden of Eden they go, okay? So in the Garden of Eden, they had everything. Everything would grow. They didn't have to worry about things. They had their food. They had their water. They had a good time, right? Not anymore. So the word tells us, he shoves them out of the garden. And if it's not bad enough to kick them out of the Garden of Eden, what does he do? He takes two angels with flaming swords and puts them at the entrance of the garden so they can't go back. It's like, you're out of here, guys. Have a good day. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son to save us from all these things. But God gives them provision, okay? So God teaches them. You know, he said, look, because you made this decision, now you're going to have to till the field. You're going to have to go through all this. So they go through all the sweat. And God says, okay, now you need to give sacrifices to me. All right? So God would always want what they call the first fruits. So if they planted wheat or whatever they wanted, he wanted the first harvest of the wheat. You know, or the best of the wheat harvest. If they had livestock, he wanted the firstborn of the livestock to be sacrificed to him. Now, to be clear, it wasn't just they'd kill him and walk away from him and let all the animals. I mean, they would burn it, they would eat it. Okay, that was all part of the process. But still, it was given in honor to God. All right. So now God has this thing where he's given us free will. He's given us choice. All right. And actually, we had the choices. That's why they ate from the apple. Right. They had free will choice. They just made a bad choice, which condemned all of us. So here we are. Here we are as we roll through this. So they rebelled against God, right? They rebelled against God. And now we have to make that submission. And how do we make the submission? Well, he sends Jesus now. Now here's where all this is going. When God established that they needed to make sacrifices to God to give of their first fruits. When they had to give those sacrifices, you know, God was saying, look, this is a requirement you need to do because you are sinners, all right? You don't obey the rules. That's what sinning is. You got a rule, you broke the rules, right? That's what sinning is. So he didn't obey the rules. So the consequence for that is they had to make all these sacrifices. And that's how it rolled through the whole Old Testament. And through the whole Old Testament, we've got people prophesying, Isaiah, the most popular of which, prophesying and saying, hey, we're going to send a Messiah, a Savior, who's going to save us from all this stuff and finally correct and clean things up with God. So Jesus now is born of Mary, a virgin, okay? So the Holy Spirit, remember we talked about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit at the beginning, the three in the beginning. So now the Holy Spirit makes Mary a girl, young girl, younger than you guys. She was at least about 14, they figure, 13 or 14. And they make her pregnant. The Holy Spirit, supernatural, makes her pregnant with Jesus. Okay, so Jesus, the father of Jesus, is God, okay, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, of course, is born without sin. All of us are born with sin. Jesus is born without sin. You know, but he's human, right? He's human like us. He has his free will choices. But he's got a special blessing, and that's the Holy Spirit hanging out with him. So Jesus is our model. Jesus teaches us how to live, how to walk through this earth. Now, it's neat because as you watch through the Bible, a lot of people think, have a viewpoint of Jesus, which is, Jesus was a rebel. You know, most people don't think about Jesus as a rebel. We're not really taught that way with the scriptures that were presented to you. If you think about it, he was a rebel. He shook up the status quo. He shook it up. I mean, remember when he went into the temple? Okay, so he goes into the temple, right? He goes into the temple where they do the animal sacrifices. This is still where people are doing the sacrifices to God. They build this big temple. Think of it like a big courthouse, all right? our big church, if whatever you want to call it. But that's where they would go and do these animal sacrifices. That was part of what God had mandated. Here, guys, go do this. So what happened was a lot of unscrupulous people would go ahead and set up all these tables. They call them, and they'd have people buy sacrifices, buy doves, buy the goats, buy the whatever they were selling that they could sacrifice. And Jesus comes in and says, "That's not how it's supposed to be." So he actually takes some cords and makes himself a whip. He's whipping at people. He's whipping it. He's turning over tables. He's saying, "Get out of here, man! You're taking my Father's house." Remember, Jesus is the Son of God. He said, "You're taking my Father's house, and you are just corrupting it." It's like, what is this all about? All right. So that's what I like to call righteous anger. See, many of us will get angry, but not because we're justified in being angry. You know, it's not that righteous anger. This was a sin against God that Jesus was upset about. And, you know, so he was coming against what they called the Pharisees. Right? Now, the Pharisees were a group of people that knew the Word of God, knew the laws of God. You've heard of the Ten Commandments, right? Which Moses had passed down through. So, and these guys would, you got to follow the rules. And then they added a bunch of extra rules to it. Oh, you got to wash your hands a certain way. Oh, you got to wear your clothes a certain way. Oh, yeah, it was a ridiculous number. You're right. Was it 700 or something? It was outrageous, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Moses gives them 10, and they balloon out to that over the years. Yeah, right. Yeah, like amendments on our Constitution, right? Just let's keep making more rules and see if we can keep them. So man messes up at the beginning of all this stuff. God says, "Oh shoot, they messed up. Now I gotta find a way to save you." So he said, "Okay, we'll go ahead and send my son. We'll send my son Jesus now. Years down the road, we'll send him down there. We'll have him share the good news. We'll have him show the power, prove that he is God." And then Jesus had to become the sacrifice. Just like the animals were sacrificed to appease God, Jesus had to become the sacrifice. Jesus had to be killed, okay, in order to appease. He's the anger of God, you know, the anger of God against sin. And that's kind of a wild concept if you think about it. And a lot of us weren't really raised with it that blunt, you know. we were pretty much said, okay, you're sinners, Jesus paid for your sin. Okay, well, let's be really blunt with it. You know, Jesus was the sacrifice. When Jesus died and was hung on that cross, that was at the same time that the high priest was slaughtering an animal, doing an animal sacrifice in the temple. There's a lot of significance with that. Right? When Jesus died on the cross, there was a big curtain that separated what's called the Holy of Holies in the temple. This is a special place that only the high priest could go to. And when Jesus died, that big curtain went and ripped right down the middle and opened it up. So Jesus paid the price. Jesus pays the price for us, which takes me to full circle to where this opened up to. So this is talking about now the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus has been killed. Jesus has been buried. You know, they place the guard at the tomb, and the Pharisees, you know, the legal guys, the guys who are following all the laws, they are crazy worried that Jesus' disciples are going to go ahead and steal Jesus' body so they can say, "Hey, look, see, he raised from the dead," just like he said, because Jesus predicted he would rise again. Okay, Jesus did a lot of really cool things. So the guard of the tomb. So the next day after preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. And they said, "Sir, remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said that after 3 days I will rise again. So give order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples might come and steal the body and tell everyone that he is risen from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." So Pilate told them, "Okay, take a guard," he said, "and make the tomb secure as you know how." So they went and made it secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. So imagine like a stone up against the wall, and they put something around it, a seal. All right? They'd seal it up. So then this is actually Matthew 28. So after the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was a special Jewish day. It's kind of like the special Sunday, okay? It wasn't like an every Sunday. What's the best way to think of that? Like we call like a high Sunday, like an Easter or a Christmas or some special Sunday, okay? So after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day, Mary Magdalene came and the other Mary and went to the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. Now imagine this, okay? This angel, an angel of God, And typically, angels of God aren't short little people like me. I mean, they're big boys, all right? You know, they're 8-9 feet, big ones, okay? And they're making it happen. So they came in, and these guys flipped out. I mean, the guards, and these guards, I'm sure, were Scott size, you know? They're probably big boys, you know? And they can make it happen. But they became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. And then quickly go tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him." And so the women hurried off, and they're happy. Right, they're happy now, right? They're thinking, cool, you know, Jesus said he was going to rise, and it's all right. Now, they haven't seen Jesus yet at this point, but they go running off, and then suddenly Jesus meets them. He said, "Greetings," said Jesus. And they came to him, and they grabbed hold of his feet, and they worshipped him. And then he said, "Hey, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and that they will be here." So all his disciples, he's talking about all the people that hung out with him with that. And so he works through. So then, and Matthew actually records this piece of it. And actually, this is pretty interesting. So while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that happened. So imagine now these guys going to the boss. These guards going to the boss and saying, "Hey, there was this big angel that came and did it." You know, you're sure like, right, guys. Right, can you believe that? And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large amount of money, telling them to say his disciples came the night and stole him away. All right, so bribery, right, politics. All right, they said, "No, that doesn't work with our story. You know, here's some money, guys. You know, go buy yourself a farm out there. Don't come back. Don't say anything. And, you know, so the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, there's a lot of the Jewish people, there's still a lot of Jewish people that, you know, don't recognize Jesus as Messiah. They recognize him as there. He was a prophet. They know you can't deny that he was on the earth, but they don't recognize him in that fashion. So then then it finishes up with the Great Commission. So then the 11 disciples, remember there were 12, but Judas had betrayed Jesus, and Judas had killed himself when he figured out that, oops, he made a big mistake. All right. So now we have 11 of the 12 left. So when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He gets that great commission. So Jesus comes. Jesus is sacrificed for us. Jesus pays the price for all of our sins. And then he says, "Hey, this is good news. You know, tell everybody about me. Have them believe in me and receive." So that was full circle from from the resurrection with that. Kind of interesting to think about, isn't it? When you go through, it's like, wow. So we summarize the Bible in, 5 or 10 minutes there, okay? 10-minute Bible summary. Boom, here you go. Here's what happened. Okay. All right. And that's okay. And that's okay, because sometimes you got to make it that concise. You got to just declare it and let it go. Oh. I'd ask for any comments, but the comments usually come when I'm speaking anyway, so. No, it's good. It's good. No, that's good stuff. You should. Let me grab some right with you. We're ahead of schedule here. Who's got prayer requests? How do we need to be praying for people today? Absolutely. They can heal anything, right? They can heal anything. Wow. So anyway, well, Lord, we thank you for your time of fellowship here tonight. Thank you for all those gathered here, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you came as a rebel, but a rebel with a good cause, a rebel to shake things up, to shake up the status quo. We thank you that you teach us that we need to just lay all this stuff, to submit, to lay all this stuff at the feet of Jesus. So, Lord, we lift up many things right here today. Lord, we're lifting up Zach and Chrissy and Cameron, their little baby. We just lift up that family, Lord, the father, the mother, the child. just for them, where you need them to be, Lord, for your peace, for your restoration. Just bringing things where it all needs to be. Lord, we thank you for special blessings, though, for Sandy. Just for glorious peace for her, Lord. She's, we all have challenges. And Lord, she knows them. She knows the things that, that come up and just, like a knife sticker sometimes, I know. And we thank you, Lord, that you just make her where that just can't, it can't penetrate. Make her slippery as oil, Lord. All this stuff just slides right off. Slides right off. As she lets her light, the light of Jesus in her, just so shine. So shine and shine. Shine just so bright. But Lord, we lift up a special praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're giving Donna, that special healing for her. And we're claiming the victory here for the other hand. And she is made fully whole. In the name of Christ Jesus, no more carpal tunnel stuff. Thank you for our friend Bill hanging out here today. God bless you, brother. We're good to see you here. I appreciate you being here. It is good stuff. Thank you, Daddy, for what you've given for Melody. She puts in the effort, Lord. She puts in the effort. She takes her steps out in faith. And I thank you that she's seeing victories, seeing great victories. We're proclaiming more and more victories for you, Melody, especially when you leave us to go up to the University of Dayton here in 50 days or so, more or less, kind of. How much? 49 days. She's counting the days. She's counting the days. Okay. And Emily. That's right. We come against those things. In the name of Jesus and potatoes and duct tape and whatever else, we're claiming it. We're proclaiming a victory for you on that. And God bless Emily. Thank you for being here, Emily. God loves you. God loves you. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. That's awesome. We love seeing you here. I love it. It's so, so good. And Lord, give Brandon a job. Yeah, please. Which is a blessing for Scott, too. Oh, and what, you want him to clean up around?
Anything other than you want fries.
How about riding a lawnmower?
I could do that.
Okay.
I've been known to do that. Actually, I was doing that
today. In that area.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. That would be Mr. Armstrong.
Oh, Mr. Armstrong.
Pick your favorite Mr. Oh, these are great things. Isn't it good just to have fun in the Lord and just to be blessed? And these are great things. So I love Thursdays. I absolutely love. I love the fact that everybody knows each other. That was a show, wasn't it? Cheers! Everybody knows your name. Yeah, that works in church too, Brandon. Cheers. So that's all good. Let's finish. Let's join me in Lord's Prayer, please. Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This is good. Good. Hey, let's sing a couple more songs, huh? And then move on.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why do you condemn your friend? Why do you look down? He shall stand before God at the judgment seat, for Scripture has declared, He is Lord, He
risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As I live, says the Lord, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Believe it or not, the chorus on that song, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the... That actually is the entire song. I actually wrote the other verses based off of Romans 14, 10, verses 10 and 11. So you're declaring scripture. Of course, you do that on a lot of songs anyway. Are you singing this on random? I hope you are. Yeah, is he caught here? Want some water?
Oh, yeah. What water? What?
This is a Christianized version of a song that Melody likes. It's kind of, how would you describe this, Brandon? Kind of bluesy?
It's country blues is the genre. Is what I can work. I ended up looking up what they called it.
Oh, good. And that's what they called it.
I can't remember. I thought I had now.
Strawberry pie. Jesus, where are you tonight? I bear a sadness deep inside. I'm making for a faith in things I strain to feel. I need to know that you are real. Oh, Savior, open up my eyes. I want to see you like a child. There is a haze on the horizons of my heart. Dear Jesus, show me where you are. Be my firelight. Be my firelight. Burn fierce and bright. Be my firelight. How do I move on and be free? All these things that I have seen, all of my memories are turning into scars. Oh my God, put back what's been torn apart. Be my firelight. Be my firelight. Burning fierce and bright. My firelight. Be my firelight. Be my firelight. Fierce and bright. Be my anything, let it be a rain into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. Anyone remembers my name, if I'm ever known for anything, let it be a rain into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. If anyone remembers my name, if I'm ever known for anything, let it be a rain into the night, running with the firelight, firelight. Cause I don't want to stroll the streets of gold. While there's still so love, let me run into the night, running with the firelight, firelight.